On closer inspection, the feet were like the paws of a big wild cat. The strangest feature about it was its beak. It was square, and the top part of it was engraved elaborately and incongruously at the sides, which struck me as being totally impractical for a giant bird of prey. Of course, I realized that prey in this world would probably not feature in a bird's life, and the way this creature looked was overall rather dignified, with a harmonious handsomeness. Then, to my great surprise, the creature walked right up to me and pecked me gently on the cheek. It was almost like a human kiss, and I felt a wave of affection. 166. The other creature, which was standing a little further back, was a mammal, and the closest I can describe it as is a mixture of a dog and a lion. It too came closer towards me, and then it licked me on the cheek in the same affectionate way as my family cat would have done. The feeling I had was one of kindness and affection. Before I could establish a more meaningful communication, our threesome was interrupted by a friend. I knew this person well, but I did not know him back on Earth in my ordinary social life. He had a great urgency about him, which shattered the tranquility I had just experienced. I resented the intrusion, but he begged me to find some information to help his friend. He gave me no choice and I followed him into the air. We rose what felt like many miles into the sky until we reached what appeared to be a natural boundary, like a layer of clouds made out of trillions of glittering disks. On closer inspection, I noticed that this ceiling was made out of billions of tiny images. Some were like moving collages. He urged me to go further and we entered a sea of images stretching infinitely in all directions. We both searched, but I had no idea what I was searching for and didn't receive any clues from my friend. However, I was fascinated enough to keep searching, or, really, to keep looking at these minute living images. I assumed that the search was triggered by attraction, so it would be possible to home in on the search quickly. But not knowing what to search for, I began to lose interest. At the same time, I became aware of a dull pain in my shoulder, caused by lying in a strange position in my bed. I struggled to keep my waking awareness in this dimension, but it was of no use. My physical awareness was too strong. All I could do was keep still with my eyes closed and run through the events I had just experienced to imprint them on my physical brain. The higher dimensions, heavenly worlds, the higher a person ascends through the dimensions, the greater the power at their disposal. They also become more and more aware of an underlying intelligence, which permeates everything in the world around them. Everything is animated and has intrinsic intelligence and a serene presence. It now becomes clear why everything functions so beautifully, following the laws of attraction, imagination, and creativity. The feeling is that this is a placid ocean of compassionate intelligence, resting in a state of peace and underscore awaiting human intent so it can make new forms and new creations. Something remarkable is happening to the people who dwell in these regions. Because there is an absence of separation, the overriding feeling is that of being home. Every feeling of being home or the desire to be home comes from this dimension. In the surrounding environment there is no such thing as inanimate matter. All matter on the higher dimensions is intensively alive and intelligent. Even in the dimensions below there is a feeling that whatever is created has a presence and a life of its own. Matter is intelligence. I simply cannot find a more appropriated description. We will find that the notion of the blind watchmaker ~17, a theory which implies that natural selection, an unconscious, automatic, blind yet essentially non-random process that Darwin discovered, has no purpose in mind and implies in a wider sense that everything created in the physical universe follows blind mechanistic principles, is simply wrong. Although there may not be a comprehensible definitive purpose, in my observation at the root of every 168 atom is a profound intelligence keeping it in motion. This principle holds true throughout all dimensions. Though whatever this intelligence is will probably always remain beyond our grasp and human understanding. When human intelligence is trying to mold the matter of this dimension creatively, it responds with eagerness and enthusiasm. Every act of creation is accompanied by incredible joy. There is a constant underlying feeling that this intelligence will communicate with us via ecstasy and rapture, the moment we pierce through the veil and enter its true nature. The veil is very thin at these highest levels, and this intelligence can burst into existence at the slightest creative provocation. There is little discrimination between the creator and the created, as that which is created carries the soul imprint of its creator. The identity of the creator is not restricted to a localized energy field, but can expand or contract by a simple effort of intent. The expansion of consciousness is multi-dimensional and transcends space and time. The inhabitants here and beyond this region have a symmetrical attractiveness and beauty, much more so than on the regions below. There appears to be a greater range of expression, subtly changing with fine nuances when interacting with one another, whilst maintaining their essential character and individuality. Interaction between people is very intimate and intense and extremely rewarding. Sound, color and shape are synonymous. Sound creates color and pattern or shapes, and color and shapes have a sound component. To any artist, this is the home of true creativity, which has infinite power potential. Against this, anything man has ever experienced or enjoyed on Earth pales into bland insignificance. By earthly time, it is possible to live in this region for thousands of years without ever getting bored. The diversity is more than we can imagine, simply because creativity in the next dimension utilizes sensory tools that far surpasses our own senses of sight, sound, smell and feeling. Pictures from Hindu mythology spring to mind, with the godhead of a thousand arms and eyes, an appropriate way of depicting what is opening before us. Even on the lower dimension, people will get accustomed to new types of emotion, subtle nuances that open up a completely new world of experience to us. Here, emotions that we have become accustomed to on the physical level are cast away and are transmuted into sublime, incredibly varied forms of joy, which is carried by a brilliant intelligence and a multitude of nuances of love. Consciousness is expanded greatly, promoting 169 VRS, pound, us to superhuman status. Every perception is more powerful, more evolved, and with new organs of perception we can enter new worlds, so far removed from memories of our physical life that we may wonder at the grossness of the human creatures crawling on planet Earth. On the higher dimensions there are still consensus environments created by man, like cities and exquisite architectural wonders, but the creative energies are so dynamic that they joyfully fill any mold created by human thought. The worlds here are at an essence level of creation. Anything that it is possible to create is in existence, and a soul relishing the abundance of these universes can cover endless vistas of sublime landscapes and worlds of such profusion and wonder, that it is easy to be trapped and seduced by them for millennia to come. These worlds cater for the fulfillment of all our dreams in their essence, which we were unable to fulfill on the lower levels and in an environment which is blissful in an endless variety of ways. I have mentioned that the higher the dimension, the more splendid and more extraordinary its structure, not only its design, but its manifestation of subtle materials as well. The complexity, diversity and abundance increase exponentially the finer or higher the vibratory rate of the dimension becomes. Aspects of color, sound and feeling on these dimensions cannot be described in terms of the physical. Scientists wonder what a particle and what a waveform is, which one is light and which one is sound, but in the higher dimensions they are one and the same thing, swirling around in an ever-changing dance and pouncing eagerly and joyfully at any creative stimulus and opportunity in order to manifest it. And yet, although we might consider this to be the goal and fulfillment of all our dreams, an awakened person who enters this world will become aware that this is not the ultimate reality or resting place, if there is such a thing, and will quickly turn his or her attention to a higher level still, which will be the starting point of all our future evolution, once we have fully transcended the animal kingdom. But as far as man at his current state is concerned, these are the true heaven worlds, often referred to by the mystics and poets who visited these regions and discovered that they were unable to express in words of what they had seen. For years I have struggled to express them with the help of computer software and very often gave up before I even began, forever failing, not even getting anywhere close. 170 experienced in a totally greatly that there are no the lady in the blue room. 2nd of June 1976 I woke up in a corridor of an exquisitely decorated house. The atmosphere was such that I felt immediately at home. The thrill of the realization that I had arrived in another dimension was enhanced by the fact that this was a place of serenity, designed and decorated in a way which showed exquisite taste and artistic skill. As I walked through the rooms, I was impressed by the attention to detail that the owner of the house had brought to bear. I walked up a staircase. Everything was white, but the quality of the white allowed the sum total of all the colors pure white contains to dance on its surface in a way which cannot be observed on Earth. Sublime environments. I wanted to conclude this book with a chapter about the highest dimensions into which I was privileged to glimpse. I have experienced only a few such events, and only two or three of these were experienced in a dimension which I believe utterly transcended a human experience. The following are descriptions of heavenly experiences, but they are by no means the highest levels attainable. When discussing those lofty dimensions, we first have to accept that they are seven unfamiliar state of consciousness, expanded so apostrophe, words to describe the state of mind. I will do my best to write down what I found along the way and how it felt, just for the record, though I may not be able to put everything into words. At the very least I can talk about effects. One thing is for sure, as we transcend from the lower to the higher dimensions, life becomes increasingly refined, harmonious, more euphoric and more glorious. The most important aspect, however, is that with each ascendance into a higher dimension our consciousness expands in direct proportion to the magnificence surrounding us. I would like to include the next journal entry in this category, not because it was what one may want to describe as spiritual, but because it was so sublime and serene and the person in it so beautiful that it had a very uplifting effect on me. 171 The stairs led into a magnificent bedroom, held predominantly in shades of subtle blue. From the carpet to the walls, the curtains and the bedspread. The blue of the ceiling was such that I wondered whether it was the clear blue sky itself. By the dresser, a beautiful young woman sat combing her long blonde hair, looking into a mirror, seemingly unaware of my presence. Feeling very self-conscious at having intruded into her private suite, I fumbled through my thoughts for the right kind of an excuse, while scanning for an inconspicuous retreat before causing any embarrassment. But the exquisitely beautiful lady smiled at me via the mirror and uttered a soft and very welcoming hello. This simple word conveyed the most gentle kindness I had ever experienced. These traits were expressed perfectly in her serenity - her pure skin, her noble eyes and cheeks and her perfect nose and her lips sculpted by a caring smile and a capacity for love. I was surprised by the familiarity in her voice, and then I remembered her. We seemed to be very good friends. It was not even as if we had been separated for long, we were like two friends meeting in town by chance. Instead of talking, we flashed intense and joyful feelings of sympathy towards each other. There was nothing else to say. Then I mentioned to her that I was lucid and had better make the most of the experience before I woke up in my dull world again. She laughed, turned around and gave me a friendly wave. "Bye-bye, then," she smiled, letting me carry on with my quest 7. The feeling of goodwill from her left me happy and invigorated, and yet I felt foolish for lacking the courage to talk at length with her and rediscover our old connection. The fact of the matter is that I was simply overawed - by her charisma and presence. This was a presence of kindness found rarely on this earth level. Probably, most women cannot allow themselves to be so generous with their affection to a man for fear of being misinterpreted as making a pass. Her lack of such self-consciousness was emphasized by the totally unambiguous feeling of selfless love, which could not be misinterpreted as anything erotic in the least. The next thing I can recall was walking down another corridor. I am not sure whether it was in the same house, but it was nevertheless the same serene atmosphere. I passed by a large open window looking into a classroom. I saw a young teacher standing in front of a blackboard and half a dozen students sitting around a table listening to his lecture. He, 172, pointed to some beautifully calligraphed symbols on the blackboard, which I sensed had a strangely powerful and magical meaning. I made a distinct effort to impress their design onto my memory, so I could draw them on my return and find out what they represented. But instead I remembered only their inner power. Surrounded by a beautiful blue light, which had traces of the light from the blue bedroom of my friend, I slipped feet first into my body. There was not even a break in consciousness when I opened my eyes in my bed. The dancing made an early July 1976. In my dream I was traveling in the back of a car, studying the pattern on the seat in front of me with the curiosity of a small child. At that moment I became lucid. Exhilarated by the thrill of my realization, I jumped out of the moving car without the slightest difficulty, despite the fact that it had been traveling very fast. I stood next to the road watching the car disappear into the distance. I became aware of beautiful countryside surrounding me, lush green fields and trees brimming with the life and the power of a sunny day in May. The sight was so breathtaking that for a moment I felt like surrendering to the scene and allowing myself to be carried away in a beautiful dream, but I could not let this opportunity slip by, so I decided to deepen my waking consciousness by focusing on my hands, then on the ground, spun till I could see every atom and every grain of dust with a clarity of mind and mental alertness that was staggering. The fact that I had woken in a much higher dimension than I had been used to filled me with great joy and happiness. Curiously, the road I was walking on was of a deep, rich black, assembled from billions of crystal-like particles. I could not believe that black could be so rich and beautiful. It was enhanced by wafts of colors, which the reason I included these reports under the Heaven chapter is simply because of the extraordinary pleasure they gave me. Not only because of the scenery, but also because of great clarity and expanded awareness or consciousness was so much more clear and lucid than anything I'd experienced so far. 173 Birds of Paradise, 7th of October 1977. Three times I woke up in my dream state. First lucid awakening, I was talking to people in my dream, becoming fully awake and aware while maintaining my conversation. It was like holding a conversation with a neighbor, while becoming aware of the sunniness of the day. I am convinced that the people I chatted to had not even noticed my change of consciousness. We just carried on talking. Everything was the same as before. The surrounding had not changed, nor had the people or the conversation. I was distracted only briefly from our conversation by the realization that many dreams are probably as real as waking life, except for our lack of awareness. I wondered how many dreams were real. Being aware of myself in this novel state, I excused myself from the company and drifted like an ethereal creature, without any effort whatsoever, along a corridor. On one side of me were large Gothic windows, almost touching the floor, and ahead of me, at the end of the corridor, was an equally large door inviting me to enter the next room. Was no break in drifted like luminescent mist across it, in pinks, greens and yellows, every so often releasing bright, enchanting sparks into the air, which faded gently and invigorated the mists surrounding them with new life. As I looked up I saw silver birches with cascading shimmering bark and in the distance vast fields fringed by great forests. As so many times before, I noticed a familiarity that allowed me to place this dimension directly and accurately in the open countryside near my hometown in Germany, a small village called Settrop. It was uncanny how accurately I could place the location of this exalted dimension simply by its atmosphere. The next thing I heard was singing coming from a group of happy people dancing towards me. Their song and their joviality injected my heart instantly with happiness. I tried to talk to a girl dancing past me, but she laughed and danced around me and then disappeared with her fellow troopers. Again, when I woke in my bed, the consciousness 174 as the door opened, I couldn't tell whether it was as a result of my intention or by some invisible hands, I entered a large room with a gathering of people. There were different age groups, but all were engrossed in intense conversation. One thing that struck me as odd was the fact that they were all much taller than I was. Even the children were tall. I couldn't be sure whether it was my height, or lack of it, or whether it was the fact that I was a stranger, which drew me some attention. But the attention did not make me feel uncomfortable. In fact, nearly every glance towards me was accompanied by a friendly smile. Just when I was about to address one of the group, I became aware of my physical consciousness and woke up. Second lucid awakening, I become frustrated by the fact that the pull of my physical body prevented me from pursuing in-depth investigations, but, as soon as I closed my eyes, I became instantly aware and awake in the next dimension. It was as if I had poked my head through a ceiling and become aware each time of a different room. This time it was an ordinary, tastefully furnished sitting room, quite ordinary, which seemed vaguely familiar. What attracted my attention was the window, which looked out onto a bright summery garden. The fact that on the physical level it was a cold and rainy October day only added to my desire to move outside. I had always had an issue with opening windows on this level and had become accustomed to passing straight through them instead. The glass felt like thick soft plastic, which yielded to my touch and then just popped like a bubble, dispersing into tiny droplets. The brightness of the light, the warm summer air and the lush green and plentiful flowers had the instant effect that I soared blissfully into the sky. But only too suddenly my journey was cut short. Third attempt, I closed my physical eyes again. I was back in the same sitting room, standing in front of the same window, looking out into the garden. Before I attempted anything, I told myself to stay focused on this dimension and under no circumstances slip out of wakefulness or return to my body. I stepped back from the window and then hurled myself with arms outstretched through the glass. Again I felt the rubbery resistance, then popped through it and out into the garden. The serene beauty of the surrounding abundance had an 175 instant invigorating effect on me, which allowed me to rise like a helium balloon into the air. The more lucid my mind became, the more invigorating the color. Some flowers glowed like paper lanterns in profuse colors, the sizes of their exuberant heads exaggerated. Who was all this beauty for, I wondered. Who created it? I was taking in the extravagance of the display when a short distance into the garden, an unexpected wall obscured my view. Its main purpose appeared to be to act as a contrast to a multitude of exotic growths, each competing in magnificence. It is difficult, if not impossible, to describe the feelings these surroundings evoked. I realized how much more intensively I was able to see with my heart, in fact, with my whole body. The creations triggered a sympathetic vibration within me. In our home dimension, I might see and enjoy the beauty of a summer garden, but I could still separate myself from the experience and think of other things. I would be fleetingly aware of the beauty, but thinking already of doing other things. Here it was a total experience. Each musical string of color vibrated in my heart, the different nuances of which evoked new emotions, overwhelming one moment, delicate and hushed the next, leaving me vulnerable in the love of it all. Just beyond the wall on the other side was a small and happy stream with crystal clear water, playing continuous chiming notes. If you have spent some time alone, maybe as a child, by the side of a small brook and listened to the water, enchanted by the rhythmic yet ever-changing notes, you will have an inkling of what I found. But it was not just the melody of the water which sang and worshipped the piece, it was the fact that it played for me. I was the object of its devotion, and its music was for me. We were entwined intimately like lovers, gently and gracefully. As if the sound was not beauty enough in itself, it emitted colors into the air that mutated into continuously changing shapes. And then there were the birds who were careful not to intrude and draw my attention away from the water. Despite the fact that they were dressed in colorful plumage, synchronizing perfectly, yet contrasting with their surroundings, they remained perfectly synchronized. In this part of the universe, plumage was simply a way of expressing perfection, unity and harmony. 176 I and clarified my life in my normal gradually, I noticed more birds sitting in the hedgerows, bouncing on tender branches, and flapping from tree to tree. They watched me with interest, intelligent and unafraid. The idea that they were animals suddenly appeared absurd. I mused how our dimmed vision on our physical earth condemned our animal companions into categories of lesser beings, which we could exploit for our own survival, pleasure and greed. These birds were essences of intelligence. As if to prove my point, one huge parrot, with a wingspan of 4 or 5 feet, soared high above me, nobly, its confidence taken from the very spirit of this world. Then he swooped down towards me in decreasing circles, and when I stretched out my arm he landed lightly on my hand, despite his size. After a few seconds he took to the air again. When I stretched out my hand to bid farewell, I found to my surprise that he had left a dark, square object attached to my arm. Before I could even identify or decipher the gift, I woke up. I have tried to re-enter this exalted realm so many times, but I have managed only dreams. Friendly people, 13th of July 1977. I was standing in the middle of a country road, which meandered through green fields with an abundance of flowers, when I acquired full waking consciousness. I can't remember which was the most / powerful, the beauty of the surroundings or the exhilaration that I had I traveled into a higher dimension. Probably, it was both. I was overwhelmed with joy. It was mid-morning. The sun was bright and warm. Its powerful rays had _ a personality, which welcomed me consciousness even more. If only I could feel so waking world, I thought. Then I saw a young woman riding a horse along the path towards me. I decided to talk to her. She seemed to realize my intention and rode closer, bending towards me with a friendly smile. She was extremely attractive, with long blonde curly hair. She had a great presence and a sublime nobility, and everything about her radiated grace. Gazing at her made me feel shy. "Excuse me," I said, "are we on 177 the astral plane?" I felt stupid even before she burst out laughing, but it was joyful, disarming laugh, which caused me to warm to her. I asked, "Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? I rarely get the opportunity to come here and I would like to find out more about this world. Why don't you come with me to the village and we can talk together?" She invited me. "Thank you, yes. That is a great idea," I replied, but instead of following her I was overcome by the urge to express my newfound freedom by somersaulting into the air and bouncing through the beautiful flower-strewn fields. When I looked for her, she had gone, but I wasn't concerned. I began to enjoy the riot of color surrounding me and the freedom I felt as I soared through the sky. Where I expected clouds to be, I found instead layer upon layer of colors, all moved about by the rays of the sun, weaving through the high grass below and rising into gentle swirls of pinks, blues and lilacs. The colorful fields stretched in all directions, before disappearing into a luminous mist. When I landed I examined the grass, which was of a rich, shimmering green. When I dug my hand into the soil it was made from billions of tiny crystals, not like physical earth at all. I let it pour through my fingers, which made a sound like tiny crystal bells. This was heaven. Everything about this place was rich in color, sound and splendor, a place where I could stay for months, if not for years, if not forever. Sadly, I became aware of my body. For a while I clung to the familiar dual consciousness, which allowed me to be in two worlds at the same time, but I could not hold on to heaven much longer. I made a last effort to follow the invitation of the young woman, but time had run out. I was torn away physically and soared into the air. Two dogs had appeared on the scene and they chased after me playfully on the ground. The call from my body became stronger and finally I opened my eyes.